All rise. Hear ye, all rise.
Most people hear that bell and you picture like the opening on Wall Street.
Yeah.
I just had a vision of that wind-up monkey with the tambourines. Ding, 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 ding.
Very normal thing to think of when you hear a bell ringing. Welcome to the Crunch Exchange. It's how we wrap up Wednesdays during crunch time. I bring up a prospectus from the world of sports. Steve tells us if he is buying, selling, or now the often used pending. The dumpster fire of the dumpster that's on fire on a river of fire heading towards a waterfall of fire that is the New York Mets has slowly been ignored for the past couple of weeks, whether it be because their GM and manager aren't threatening to fight the media or the avalanche of memes about raiding Area 51 have taken over. The Mets are being just generally ignored. They're the last team that Baseball Reference considers a contender for the NL wildcard, beating out literally just the Miami Marlins, and are having just a classic Mets problems. Zach Wheeler, the lone piece that the Metropolitans were going to be willing to part with at the deadline, has been placed on the 10-day DL with shoulder fatigue. The new names that are being tossed around in the trade rumor mill are aces Noah Syndergaard and Jacob deGrom. Now, DeGrom isn't the same Cy Young contender that he was last year, but he's still the best trade piece that the Mets have to offer to try and avoid another losing season, having nine of them in the last 11 years. Relying on Wheeler to get healthy and getting a big haul of prospects just isn't going to be enough. The Mets have to do something. The Yankees were bad for a little bit, and in that time, they rebuilt their farm system. For the Mets, trading away Thor, who's under team control through 2022, or DeGrom, signed through 2024 with an opt-out after 2021, would be quite the jumpstart. The prospectus, the Mets should trade away one of Noah Syndergaard or Jacob deGrom.
Boy, those guys don't come along that often. I think it's the sneakiest part is most people would be surprised to know that deGrom is 31. And, you know, his one loss record is, you know, a 3.2 ERA is pretty good. He's still more than a K an inning. Good command, good whip. You know, they're not the Marlins. They're not the Orioles. I just don't think even now it makes sense to part with either of those guys. And like you mentioned, they're not giving them David Price money. I'm going to sell it. They got to keep those two guys still.
Speaking of the Yankees a little bit, they're one of the few teams that have to feel very secure about their postseason future. They're six up on the Rays. Their offense is loaded. Mike Giancarlo Stanton should return at some point, and their pitching staff is starting to come around. I mean, their staff ERA is over 4, but it's bloated by a couple of outliers, and anytime you can say that you don't have to rely on 36-year-old Jay Happ or 38-year-old CC Sabathia by adding a new arm, that would be a good thing. Ken Rosenthal wrote about some of the moves that could be happening over the course of the next 2 weeks, and one of the more interesting ones involves the Yankees and Mets. They've not made a trade with each other since the winter of 2004, and feeling the rumors that this cold war between the two New York teams could end is that the Mets have been scouting the Yankees' top prospects, and Yankee superfan Sean Marash tweeting out that after Madison Bumgarner, the only pitcher worth adding would be Noah Syndergaard. So Sean shall declare it, so shall it be done. The prospectus, the Yankees and Mets will trade.
Well, there's only one guy that they might get, and I just said they shouldn't trade him. So I'm not saying I disagree. I just don't think it's going to happen, so I'm going to sell that too.
With the single trade deadline happening in 2 weeks' time, many thought that this would increase the trade action, forcing teams to show their hands sooner than expected and truly separate the contenders from the pretenders and then unleash the chaos. Instead, we got Homer Bailey and Andrew Cashner trades, but there's still plenty of time for chaos. A heavy dose of it would come from the Cleveland Indians. Currently, they're tied with the A's for the second wildcard spot, meaning they'd be playing a play-in game for a play-in game, and they're also rumored to be trading their current ace, Trevor Bauer. Bauer is leading the AL in innings pitched. He's a super uber competitor with plenty of postseason experience. While he'd be a big-time addition to any contending team, he's also kind of super important to the Indians' own chances of making the playoffs. Do the Indians' front office take the prospects and throw in the towel on an injury-riddled year, or stick with what's keeping them in contention for the large part of the season so far? The prospectus, the Indians will trade Trevor Bauer.
Yeah, I was actually talking about this with a buddy of mine yesterday.
Oh.
And with Bauer, I mean, he's only signed through this year. He got the one-year $13 million deal.
Do you know why he won't sign a long-term contract?
No.
He made a bet with a friend that if he signed a contract for longer than one season, so a long-term deal, his friend would get to shoot him in the Gekalions with a paintball gun.
That's the bet.
That is why.
I don't even have an answer for that. So 28 years old, You know, the truth be told, he's had one good year. I mean, he won 17 games in the year they won it all, but his ERA was 4.2. They just had a bunch of thump. He was really good last year, but he missed some time injured. He's going to be arbitration eligible. I like their nucleus. I don't think they're in a position where they need to make a move right now because he's not costing them that much. So I don't think I'm going once again. I'm in a seller's market.
The other team ready to cause some chaos in the American League are the Twins. Pretty much came out of nowhere to get a 5-game lead in the Central, and they're ahead of schedule for contending with 7 of their starting 9 under the age of 30, including 4 of their starting 5 pitchers. It's a good sign of things to come. Nothing in sports is a certainty, so Twins fan out there should want the team to strike while the iron is hot, adding more, and especially some pitching. It wouldn't hurt them. The biggest pitching name on the market is, of course, Madison Bumgarner. However, the Giants are 3 games back of the second wild card, and while I don't think they can keep up this 94 runs every 11 games best in San Francisco Giants baseball history stretch going on for the last 2 months of the season, they might be just good enough to think that they can contend, and that might take Mad Bum off the market. I'm tired and confused of running through all these scenarios, but I have to ask, and also mostly because the Twins aren't on Mad Bum's no-trade list, the prospectus, the Twins will trade for Madison Bumgarner.
Whoa! The interesting thing about Minnesota, I was just reading, I think since they DL'd one of their young arms in April, they've run out the same 5 every game. And I mean, obviously the same 5 rotation. None of them are great. Berrios and Odorizzi are nice right around 3. They don't have a starter with an ERA worse than 4.4. I don't know that they need to spoil the apple cart. This young team is coming on, as you said, a little bit ahead of schedule. So once again, we are selling.
More like the sell exchange. Finally, we prepare for this upcoming football season, putting on our sunscreen, getting the floaties ready, pulling off the pool cover, and sweeping up the leaves, waiting to cannonball into the NFL season. It's time to look forward to next offseason. Monday was the deadline to sign players on the franchise tag to long-term extensions, and next year there are going to be plenty more teams in tough spots with players they don't want to commit to long-term, but they don't want to walk away from completely. The two toughest cases are going to be Marcus Mariota and Lamis Jameis Winston. Both got their fifth-year extensions from their rookie deal and are looking to get long-term contracts rather than to continually play out on the franchise tag like Kirk Cousins did. The two will forever be tied together, and both haven't had the most success so far in the NFL. The Bucs seem closest to wanting to give up on the Jameis project this offseason, while Mike Vrabel and the Titans management have sounded much more confident in keeping Marcus around. The first year of the franchise tag would have both of these QBs going from making about $6.1 million to an average of the top 10 salaries at their position, putting them in the 20s of million. It's a lot of crab legs. The prospectus, both Marcus and Lamis get a contract extension that saved them from the franchise tag.
So after this year?
At any point, do both of them get extensions without going on the franchise tag?
I think Tampa made it very clear that this year is basically going to make their decision for them. So I don't see it happening. I don't know, especially in that division with Atlanta better, Carolina good, New Orleans very good. So once again, a clean sweep.
Wow.
Sell it.